south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, if you remember many shows ago, I mentioned that there's a golden opportunity for expats to come down here and do lectures, seminars, and conventions. I'm talking about the usual first world hotel style salon lecture circuit. The fact is, since I started talking about it a couple of years ago, I've seen a few astute gringos come down here and make a killing at it. The majority of them not even knowing a lick of Spanish. You remember that I mentioned that, especially in Mexico these days, time sharing is big, if you can believe that. And you know, even when I was back up in Chicago over 25 years ago, timesharing was getting such a bad name that you were embarrassed to tell anyone you got sucked in. Remember that? But get this, down in Mexico, it's a status symbol to say you have a timeshare. How about that? And you gotta ask, how could that be? Well, that's because, first of all, it's a gringo thing. And second of all, even though you could get timeshares dirt cheap on a monthly payment plan, they're just slightly out of reach for the average middle-class Mexican. Or any other middle-class Latin American, for that matter. However, I'm talking about Mexico because timeshares are proliferating like crazy up there. Or I should say down there for you because it's up there for me. Anyway, so if you qualify credit-wise and can get one, you're automatically considered upper middle class. And thus, you have bragging rights with all your neighbors and friends and family. How do you like that? What a difference in cultures. Because, as you know, up in the first world, an upper middle class person would never dream of buying a timeshare. People up in the States who are upper middle class, first world style, are thinking, why buy 2 weeks a year in an upscale budget hotel when I can afford my own condo? The fact is, upper middle class people in the States do not want to share space. Now, I don't want to sound like a snob here, but that's just the way it is. So, the fact is, in Mexico anyway, some first world folks from up in the States have dusted off their old 1990s timeshare presentations and are making a killing on the hotel convention circuit in Mexico. Duh. But, you know, like W.C. Fields always said, there's a sucker born every minute, and he also said, never give a sucker an even break. And that, folks, is what's happening down in Mexico, right this minute. Now, you've heard the saying, how California goes the rest of the country. Meaning that the buying and social habits of Californians are ahead of the rest of the country. Well, know this. That very same thing applies to Mexico. It's always been the bellwether for the rest of Latin America. Because you see, trends from the U.S. have a lag time when they hit Mexico, and then the rest of Latin America looks at Mexico and then copies them. And of course, you know what happens when Latins copy. It's often a bad copy. Which is, again, part of our gringo advantage. So that's why it's going to take a little time for that timeshare thing to hit the rest of Latin America. And you can prove that to yourself by coming down to Latin America with some boots on the ground and ask anyone in Mexico on the street if they heard of a timeshare, if you speak Spanish, that is, and probably 20 to 25% of the people in a big city will know what you're talking about. But try asking that question in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, or Managua, Nicaragua, or in Guatemala, not to mention Paraguay or Bolivia. You'll find probably not one or two in 100 people know what you're talking about. I'm talking about locals, of course. And believe me, even though incomes have picked up in Latin America, and there are people in the so-called upper middle classes, that is, people making over maybe 10 or 15,000 bucks a year. Yep, that's what they call upper middle class here. They're looking for ways to invest and spend their excess money, and naturally, since they get all our cable TV now, they follow the gringos' lead. Anything the gringos do is golden to them. Which is why, now at least in Mexico, I'm seeing timeshare and real estate flipping seminars and ads for them in the papers almost every week. So, like I said, if you have something first world to sell, and the market up there is saturated or long been over with, even if it's something old and moldy to offer, there's a good chance there'll still be a big market for it down here. I mean, take any one of the hundreds of as-seen-on-TV items that are kind of a joke to us now. There must be dusty warehouses chock full of that junk, that somebody in Mexico got for a song and relabeled in Spanish. I mean, take some of these oldie moldies that just arrived down here that are surely making a fortune. The Ab Cruncher, Jack LaLanne's Power Juicer, that fantastic whatchamacallit squeegee mop. I'm talking as seen on TV, hair curlers, steam cleaners, wrenches, spray painters, and power drills. Oh, and let's not leave out those miracle boob enhancers and butt lifters. In fact, I've noticed when those commercials come on, every woman in the room sneaks a look. And those butt lifters, I could use one myself. All that junk that you and I saw 20 or 30 years ago up in the States, well, it's just come down here now, as seen on TV, of course. So why am I bringing this up again? Well, for one thing, because it's such a no-brainer business opportunity for gringos, and because it directly relates to that hotel, salon, seminar, and convention business I've been talking about. Now, get this. I don't know if it's because Robin Williams just hung himself, and suddenly there's a new interest in everything that he's done or had done in the past. Well, get this. The Robin Williams connection has come down here to Latin America. Bet you didn't even know Latins knew who he was. Well, I got news for you. Latins are tuned in to all popular Hollywood movies and movie stars. In fact, it seems like every Latin woman knows and loves Senora Doubtfire. Yep, Mrs. Doubtfire is famous down here. Okay, then how about this Robin Williams flick? And believe me, this one wasn't even a good movie. Patch Adams. You might have seen it. You know, the odd case of the good-hearted doctor who didn't care for money, just his patients. And I believe the story started with him committing himself to an insane asylum and then becoming a clown in that asylum and, as a result, having a great positive effect on the patients. And from there, he became a trend-setting, unorthodox doctor, blah, blah, blah. And note that 15 years ago, after that movie came out and faded away, one would have assumed that old Patch Adams himself, his 15 minutes of fame gone, would have blended into the woodwork, aged gracefully, and faded into the sunset. Well, sorta. Until now. And now he's on tour doing the hotel salon circuit through Latin America. Now, don't ask me who's gonna go see him, but he's an American. And in the promotional posters you see out on the highway and on TV and in the papers show the Robin Williams connection, etc., etc. I mean, who'd have thought this guy would have any fame at all, even up in the States anymore? I mean, the movie was a minor hit back in 1998, but even if you asked most Americans up north who Patch Adams was or is, they couldn't tell you. So 16 years later, he's on a foreign tour, which just goes to prove the point that if you have any first world skills to offer at all, even 16-year-old dusty outdated ones, it doesn't even matter if you speak Spanish. You can use your gringo skills and your gringo advantage to connect with audiences down here. Because, like I said, old retread stuff up in the States is brand new material to most folks down here. And in checking this a little further, I found out he's selling out. No, I don't mean selling out in a social or moral sense. I mean selling out venues like auditoriums and hotel salons. Then again, by coming down here to Latin America on tour, right after Robin Williams offs himself, well, you could call that selling out or worse. Oh well, who am I to judge, right? So then how does a flash in the pan up in the States 15 or 16 years ago, surely a total unknown down here in Latin America, do a successful multi-city tour? Don't ask me how or why. I couldn't have predicted it myself because, hell, he's got no drawing power down here, but it's that gringo advantage again. So what kind of dough is he getting? Well, I can tell you. I went down to the Ticketron. Yes, they have a Latin version called Todo Ticket, which means all tickets or total tickets, for big concerts and events like that. And get this. $20 for the bleacher seats, $30 for the stands, and $50 for the VIP seats. And like I told you in a past show, Latins, of course, have no idea what the letters VIP stand for. In fact, they don't even know that they're letters. They think it's a whole word. VIP. Yep, you heard me. VIP. Which is why one day, about a half year ago, Expat Eddie and I just cracked up when we heard one of his employees bragging that he had VIP tickets for a motocross event. And you know, in the moment, the word VIP went right over our heads until about 3 minutes later after the guy walked away and I looked at Eddie and we both started cracking up. VIP. VIP. Now, that would make a good t-shirt, or even the makings of a stand-up comedy bit. All Latins know is that they're the expensive seats, the important seats, and that gringos use that word VIP. Yeah, right. So anyway, I don't want to disparage old Patch here, but he's bringing down a lot of bucks. And, you know, he does have a foundation or two, so who knows, maybe he's donating all that dough for a good cause. You gotta hope so. Some of it, anyway. And I don't want you to think I'm picking on him, I'm just bringing him up as the perfect example of what you can do if you've got a lecture project in mind and you've got some big cojones. But that's not all. Guess who else is touring down here in all big cities in Latin America? You won't believe this. None other than the infamous Jordan Belfort. Huh? Say what? Jordan who? Michael Jordan, maybe? Nope. Jordan Belfort. Now, you don't know who that is, but you will when I tell you that Leonardo DiCaprio played him in a very successful autobiographical movie called The Wolf of Wall Street. Came out last year, remember? By Martin Scorsese, of course. Got 5 Academy Award nominations, etc., etc. And you might even have heard that the guy this story is based on, this Jordan Belfort, he has been making his money since the jail term and all that on the financial and investment lecture circuit up in the first world. And you know, after a movie fades away like that, and they do rather quickly, like within a day or so, right? Naturally, this Belfort guy tried to squeeze every little bit of juice out of the get-rich-quick financial lecture circuit in the U.S. But as fame is fleeting, comes a time when, well, that 15 minutes runs its course too. So then, what to do? Surprise, surprise, he shows up down here in every big Latin American city. In fact, I saw big ads for his gig in Colombia, Panama, and Costa Rica. So let me repeat once again. The lecture circuit for has-been first world people and their ideas is golden down here. But that ain't all. You want more proof, and this is the real kicker. Now, y'all remember 9/11, don't you? Who can forget it? That was, what, 13 years ago now? 2001? Well, you're going to love this. Guess who's out on the lecture tour milking the 9/11 connection? Yet another good example of the first world has-been lecture tour club. Yep, none other than Rudy Giuliani. Now, about a month ago, I happened to be with a few long-term gringos, and I wish you could have seen our faces when we looked up and saw a 50-foot-high poster with smiling Rudy's bald, aging mug on it. In fact, I saw that same big poster in Central America and South America too, specifically Colombia. Not to mention, I saw him pop up on TV in Honduras, Panama, and Costa Rica too. And then I started seeing his mug on TV and on street posters in Guatemala and Salvador too. So now you might wonder, who's actually going to pay good money to see this guy? Now look, the tickets are $100 a piece. That's if you buy them in advance, and on the day of the show, $125. Hell, I wouldn't pay $125 to see Elvis if he was reincarnated. And man, this is the third world. Who can afford those prices? Well, I can tell you who. Everyone in that audience is going to be a scumbag politician, some lick-ass government official, and media guys and journalists, of course, and a host of worthless government security contractors. Oh, and of course, every embassy jerk-off bigwig, too. That's it. There won't be a normal, non-governmental working-class person there. You can bet your life on that. Talk about the gringo advantage, huh? So, what do you get out of a conference like that? Well, I'll tell you what every jerk that goes to that event wants. A photo op or a selfie with Giuliani. It's all about the show. I mean, come on. What's he got to say that's worth $100 or $120? And honestly, I don't know much about this guy. I only know that he was the mayor during 9/11. And that's what rocketed him into being a media darling. At least his 15 minutes of fame stretched out to about 6 months. So then what's old Rudy talking about down here in Latin America, and who really cares? Well, his theme is crime in the big city, and according to the big posters I've seen, they're citing those old statistics when he was mayor back in New York, when, you might remember, homicides and violent crimes during his administration somehow dropped dramatically. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, and I remember reading about it myself. So how much did he have to do with that? Or was it just fate or luck of the draw that he happened to be in office at the time? Who knows? It doesn't matter. He's Rudy Giuliani, mayor during 9/11, and he's cashing in. So do I like or dislike the guy? Well, I can tell you this. Every single politician I've ever met in my whole life, and I've met hundreds, presidents on down, in both the first and the third world, and everyone, without exception, has been a dirty, rotten, lying, scumbag sociopath. And I mean that in the kindest way. But I digress as usual. Anyway, who'd have thunk anyone could get $100 a ticket in Latin America? I mean, this is the third world. Well, I take that back. Maybe Jesus and the Pope would on a double bill. Imagine what they'd charge for the VIP seats. But come on, Rudy Giuliani. Just remember that 50 to 70% of the 500 million people in Latin America live on $2 a day or less. Now, according to the press release, he's traveling with, get this, a top security expert from the World Bank. And the former director of the National Police of Colombia. No, not a high-level cop from New York, but from Colombia. And why would that be, I wonder? Well, guess what? That's because Rudy's under contract with the Colombian government. Did you know that? In one of the press releases, it says he's an assessor to the Colombian security forces. In other words, because of the luck of the draw and the gringo advantage, this guy's got one big, never-ending payday. And I'm sure that 99% of all you guys and gals up there never even knew Rudy was taking advantage of the big bucks on the Latin American has-been lecture tour. So now you might be asking, how do these guys even get their point across when obviously they don't speak Spanish, or at least not well enough to do a lecture? Well, of course, what you do is you have your presentation, your PowerPoint, in both English and Spanish, side by side, and you have a side by side Spanish translator translating real time on the fly. And for all you guys and gals who are thinking to yourself right now, hey, I could do that. I know of an old first world product I can dust off and repackage in Spanish. All I've got to do is juice up my resume, bone up on some Spanish, and maybe get a wiki page. So then, how do you get started on something like that? Well, first, you want to start out in a big city, so you come down with your plan, dust off your PowerPoint, spiff it up, hire an IT guy and a translator, and convert those old cassette tapes to CDs or flash drives. Okay, now, about selecting that IT guy and translator, just put an ad in one of the biggest papers in English and make sure you get a P.O. box at the newspaper. Because, believe me, within a week or two, you'll have more CVs than you can handle. And note, you'll be able to hire a well-trained IT guy and translator for about $500 a month. Yep, full-time, $500 a month each. And your IT guy will be responsible for promoting the hell out of it via the internet and emails and broadcasts to corporations, as well as setting up a web page for you. And of course, there'll be newspaper interviews, maybe TV ads, and maybe billboards too. Speaking of TV and radio publicity, you'll want as much of that as you can get. Hopefully a lot of it for free too. Which brings me to a topic I've never hit on before. Which is just how ridiculously easy it is to get free publicity in the local media. The papers, on TV, etc. That's when your gringo advantage is really like a small A-bomb. You walk into a newspaper office in a nice three-piece suit and a well-organized plan, including a press packet, a nicely embellished CV, and some free tickets for the event. And maybe even a little box of chocolates for the secretary. It'll be the first time in her life she's ever had that happen. Now, let me explain one thing. Most newspapers and television stations down here are not used to having someone standing in their waiting room, a real-life gringo, that is, in a three-piece suit, holding an actual first-world-style press packet, a.k.a. press kit. And if you don't know what that is, just look it up. With that, you'll automatically have a huge advantage, because Latins in general, even professionals, are not that well-organized. Details, details. It's all about the details, especially with a first impression. And with Latins, you'll find out, eventually, when you get down here, with them, there's a noticeable lack of details. Plus, when you walk in, being a gringo, you always jump to the front of the line. That said, I bet that more than half the time you'll get a quarter or a half-page interview with photos. I know, I've seen it happen. And you'll also get free publicity at TV stations when they invite you on talk shows and forums. Now, Note that most local Latin television stations, cable or otherwise, have various nightly panels and forums. And chances are, depending on your topic, you'll get invited as a guest. And how do I know that? Well, because I've seen it happen even with green gringos coming down and starting a business for the first time. Especially when a gringo starts a business or starts lecturing off the gringo tourist trail. Take expat Eddie, for example. When he opened up his first sushi restaurant, within a week or two, he was interviewed in all the local papers and even had a tiny spot on a What to Do Around Town television program coming out of San Salvador. And a month or so later, he even ended up on a weekly local tourism slash travelogue program. Just a 2 or 3 minute spot, but it really got his name out there. And the odd thing is, he didn't even look for that kind of publicity. It came to him. Again, with the gringo advantage, you know? But remember, you can only expect that kind of favoritism when you're well off the gringo tourist trail, where gringo expats are kind of a rare oddity. Again, speaking of the business of hotel seminar tours, listen to this one. Like I've mentioned in past shows, the Chinese are down here in Latin America in a big way. Not in big physical numbers, personally. You really don't see many of them around, with the exception of Panama. Since Panama City is the banking center of Latin America, it's the Manhattan of Latin America, all the big money boys end up going there to make their deals. And the big money boys, well, most of them these days are Chinese. Now, when I say boys, I mean it. It seems to be an all-male club, except maybe for a few secretaries. You just don't see Chinese women power brokers, not down here anyway. So, the Chinese are down here in a big way, buying up land, buildings, and mineral rights, often with ultra secrecy. More than you and I will ever know. Now, if that's not enough for you to think about, get this. I was sitting at the airport last week and I picked up a Honduran newspaper and I couldn't help but notice a full-page ad by, guess who? The Chinese Council for the Promotion of International Trade and the China Chamber of International Commerce. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Anyway, with huge money behind them, this International Chinese Chamber of Commerce has set up a huge traveling trade convention show. Basically a giant Chinese product publicity tour. According to reports, this traveling convention is going to hit every Latin American city that's got a population of over 1 million. So we're talking over 50 cities on the tour. Let me translate part of what this big ad says. It says, at our exposition, we will have present more than 44 Chinese companies representing the talents and abilities of 9 different cities from 9 different provinces. We will have on display articles of construction, automobiles, motorcycles, heavy and light machinery, technical and electronic equipment, assembly processes, and much, much more. Now, you know, in every big Latin city, they have convention centers and industrial parks, as big if not bigger than some of the ones you see up in the States. They host food and restaurant, car, furniture, textiles, and agricultural product shows too. You name it. And the common denominator is that you always have to pay to get in. Keeps out the riffraff, you know? A couple of bucks usually, never more than 10. But what's unusual about this Chinese trade show is that it's absolutely free and they provide drinks and snacks and gifts and a lot of other things. They really want to have a good turnout, and they do. Now, you have to understand, there's 44 different companies putting their goods and wares on display here. And from what I understand, there's over 200 people coming in from China on this gig and doing this tour. So think about it. 50 cities, 200 people, and all those tons and tons of machinery and equipment. Just looking at the organization and the setup, you can only conclude that the Chinese are dead serious about taking over the world. At least in a business and manufacturing sense. Okay, changing gears a bit. Now, here's something if it happened up in Cleveland or Austin. I'm sure it would really set you off. Okay, then first I'll ask you this question, which I know you can't answer. Okay, here goes. Guess what they celebrate all through Latin America on September 24th? You'll never guess it. Time's up. Lawyer Day. Yes, it's Lawyer Day. All right, Juanito, let's get some tequila and some chicharrones and party. Fiesta, Dia del Abogados, hombre. Yep, Latin Americans are happy no matter what. Any excuse for a party. even Lawyer Day. So they party down here, but would you be partying up north? I don't think so. Think of it, Lawyer Day in Boston or Cleveland? I don't think the first world is ready for something like that, do you? So, down here in Latin America, on September 24th, in every Latin American newspaper, there's a big public service announcement stating the glorious fact that it indeed is Lawyer Day. Now, because of the long lag time period we talk about so much on this show, down here in Latin America, lawyers still have a lot of prestige, and in fact, it's considered a very honorable profession. Why? Because, like I said, there's a big lag time, and thus they haven't figured out scams yet like ambulance chasing, and you won't see them handing out business cards at funeral parlors either. And you'll rarely see them driving around in big luxury SUVs. And when you do, they're almost always lawyers that went into politics, which means they have converted 100% into scumbag weasels. But you see, down here, just your plain old lawyer has none of that disreputable status that lawyers in the States so richly deserve. And I can prove that because after being down here more than 20 years, I've yet to hear a single lawyer joke. I mean, come on, not a single lawyer joke? Now, of course, Latin America has its share of scumbag lawyers. And the vast majority of those parasites can be found, guess where? On the gringo tourist trail, Costa Rica, Panama, Cancun, in fact, most of Mexico, etc., etc. You see, with all those thousands and thousands of clueless gringo tourists to scam, local lawyers have learned all those first world lawyer tricks. And again, 99.9% of all lawyers that go into politics, whether in the first world or third world, deserve to be shot, at least in the leg. But you knew that already, and I digress. And for all you first world lawyers out there listening to me, don't send me emails defending your so-called noble profession, because it ain't. So, does anyone seriously celebrate National Lawyer Day up north? I know, up north they've got a day for everything. In fact, when I mentioned to Latins we've got a Groundhog Day, National Mailman Day, April Fool's Day, even Alternative Lifestyle Day, not to mention Peanut Day, they think we're nuts. Pun intended. Oops, we're at the end of the show again. But before you leave, I'd like to mention my January 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar in Central America. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the seminar link, and get all the details.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.